morning, dude. What's up?
Not much. Nothing super crazy going on these days. It's kind of a... it's only Tuesday. But it's been kind of a chill week. I say that on a Tuesday.
Brian just talked about kind of the same thing yesterday, which is why we went off on a wild, like, Spider-Man tangent that ended up with me cursing Sony, of course, but also later on Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like trying to think of anything else that, like, crazy that's hit so far as of this morning. I don't believe so, but there is going to be a call today from Disney, an earnings call.
Oh yeah, the shareholders call or whatever. Yeah.
So that's going to happen. I'm interested to see what comes of that, if we're going to get any announcements. Because I know at this point what they really have to do, especially during this really, really uncertain time, is to assure shareholders that they're okay. And given that Disney isn't... Obviously, are the parks open now? I don't even know. Are the parks open?
One of them is, I think the Florida one is with limited capacity and operating.
Okay, of course the one in Florida is open. But since the parks are mostly not open and haven't been open for months, they have to basically assure shareholders that things are going to be okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got some interesting reveals on this call.
Such as?
Oh, I got no insight. I'm just saying, like, something... related.
No, I thought maybe you had a guess or something.
Oh, big. I mean, something related to probably either Marvel or Star Wars. Something that has to do with their big property. Something that kind of assures people that, hey, this is coming. Or, you know, yes, we had a bad quarter because, you know, the whole world had a bad quarter. But there's, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel and things are looking good for us. And if nothing else, it does seem like, regardless of the trajectory of the pandemic in the U.S. as of right now, it does seem like studios have some pretty good measures in place. It sounds to me like they're really quarantining the whole crew for a couple of weeks. They fly them out to where they're going. This is happening for Shang-Chi right now. They flew them out to Sydney, Australia. They are currently in quarantine. People are building sets and all that. And then once everyone is good and confirmed to be safe, they'll bring all of the cast and crew onto set to work together. So in theory, if they're all only working with each other and they've all been quarantined for a couple of weeks beforehand and they get tested throughout the process every few days, they should be hopefully able to, circumvent any issues. Of course, then you have things like, okay, well, where are they getting their food? Who's delivering their food? Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, how is that all working? That becomes a concern. But it sounds like it's a start. And I know that based on things I've heard, that COVID doesn't really travel as much on surfaces as we initially thought. So it's like, as long as you, like, you wash your food and wash your hands and don't touch your face, the chances of you getting it low from, like, being handed things is pretty low.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of... environmental factors that affect how long it survives on a surface, and indoors, outdoors, UV light, temperature, all of that comes into play.
Exactly. And it's just a matter of the biggest factor is usually when you're in a closed space around people who don't have masks who are infected. Those are the biggest factors. So, you know, hopefully now it might just be a situation of, like, now that we're aware of it, it's easy to avoid. Kind of like how scurvy stopped becoming a problem once we realized, oh, we need some vitamin C. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
No. Yeah. It's funny that you bring that one, that particular thing up, because it brings to mind two Western European slang terms. Some might even call it a slur against Germans and British people, limey and kraut, both directly come from what was used by the particular group for scurvy. And of course citrus fruits work a lot better than cabbage or what, sauerkraut. Yeah,
sauerkraut is cabbage. I have no idea. Is it? Probably.
I think it is, but yeah, of course one works better than the other. Anyways, fun history lesson.
Yeah.
good morning, everyone. Welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Jammer.
And yeah, I mean there's always a way to get there for companies to function, to figure out how to get back on track, and the path Disney and Marvel seem to be taking with the Shang-Chi, and I'm sure they're not the only ones.
No, everyone seems to be getting back into they're like we got to do this, we got to figure it out. So yeah, how do we do it safely? And it reminded me early July, Zendaya and John David Washington made a movie from the Euphoria creator Sam Levinson, and I think that was the first movie that was like it was created and shot during the pandemic, where they had the similar rules where everyone was in quarantine for a couple of weeks leading up to it, frequent testing, and it seemed like that turned out okay. Obviously the movie's not out yet, but or is it out? I don't think it's out. That would have been crazy.
I don't know,
but it's been shot.
Yeah, that's then the only question comes to what we've talked about countless times is consumption and how the entertainment will be consumed. Because if you can make it, it's just like what's sitting in the wings right now is a bunch of films that are complete, and studios are just worried about making sure they get maximum profit for consumption.
Right. So yeah, that's the next big thing. Figuring out what the way is to. It's funny. I'm gonna have like a editorial, like a round table with somebody else about this thing, because personally, I'm probably not gonna go to theater for like another year. That's just probably not gonna happen until we have like an actual vaccine and stuff that's proven. Just because I don't think it's a risk worth taking. Like, I could watch, given all the stuff I have available at home, like, I don't think it's worth it. I'd rather wait 3 weeks for it to see the movie in digital form. But I know there's someone else. There are other people who are like, no, the theater, the movie experience is the theater experience.
Yep. And that's me.
Yeah. I don't buy that. Like I said, I've said this before, like some of my best moments of experiencing a movie have been, you know, on a fucking iPhone with my headphones on, or on my laptop, or in my room, or in my living room. Like, for me, the most intimate experiences are the ones that I have where I have control over the environment around me. And I don't need to go to a theater. Not that the theater's bad, don't get me wrong. I think a theater is great when you want to go to like make it super special. Like, yeah, going to see an art house picture or a special blockbuster picture. Yeah, sure, I will see it in theater. But if there's like a risk of harm, nah, I'm perfectly good for home. But I don't think the theater, the movie experience is intrinsically attached to where you consume it, as long as you're able to read it, as long as you're able to watch it without, you know, and be attentive to it.
No, that's us on the consumer side, but the studios, of course, they're like you said, this is a shareholders discussion and deals with reassuring them that we can as Disney, we're not Disney, but you guys know what I mean. Disney basically saying we are still going to make you guys the shareholders money. They have to take into account people like you that are like, yeah, I'm good, you know, and then people like me that are like, oh, you know, under 50, it's like, you know, 99.9% survivability. Like, I'm more afraid of brain eating amoebas than I am COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people like me and you, and then there's a spectrum between us where people are like, well, I'll only go if it's a limited capacity, or everybody has to wear masks, or this, that, and the other. There is no one size fits all consumer right now. And Disney has to be concerned about that. So what I think they're going to do is focus a lot on Disney Plus stuff.
Like the Star Wars shows they have in the wings for Disney Plus, for sure.
Exactly. Because streaming is, I think all of the services, I might be wrong, maybe it was just a few of them. But I think I read somewhere that there's been an increase in subscriptions recently, like across the board in general. Just streaming services have gone up. Maybe that's what I read, not any particular companies. Now that Disney seems to have figured out a way to, hey, we can, you know, restart production or start new productions on things, let's convince the shareholders that subscriptions for Disney Plus and Hulu are going up, and this is how we're going to get them to go up. The 20th Century Studios properties that could end up on Hulu, and then of course the Disney non-family friendly stuff on Hulu and the Disney family friendly stuff on Disney Plus. That's what I expect out of this, is a bunch of streaming stuff, confirmations on Star Wars shows, like you said. Not that I'm necessarily looking forward to the shows, still going to watch them, but that's what I think's going to be. Like, I don't think we're going to get any big movie, maybe something, but not, I don't think we're going to find out like the title of our direction of a Star Wars movie. I think the focus will be on streaming.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be big properties like Marvel and Star Wars, but yeah, probably not movie, because movies wise, we kind of know what's going on, at least with Marvel. You know, we know what's coming up down the line. We know what things are in production. We know what their slate is like. Other than maybe them saying, yes, we're getting into production and we're going to continue things normal. We have the new release dates that we're going to hit because of this new process. So yeah, like there's nothing new there for us, but there is plenty new there in terms of the streaming service stuff. So yeah, I'm excited to see if we get anything at all. Please get something. If nothing else, for sure.
We need something to talk about.
We're going to get Disney Plus and Hulu numbers. Like, I think, unless they suck. Hopefully they don't. Unless they suck. If they suck, then no. Obviously, we're probably not going to hear about them. But if they're great, if they're good, or if there's some sort of positive correlation there, that's great. Like, I'm down to hear about it. But hopefully it's something interesting. Because at this point, like, you need to pull out something in order to... Because investors are skittish. They're like, they're like rabbits. So you gotta give them something good. You gotta give them a tasty treat. Otherwise, they're gonna freak out.
Gotta pull out that carrot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Definitely. I do wonder if we'll hear anything about Black Widow. If there was one movie to be discussed,
like,
I think Black Widow would be the one to say either, hey, we're gonna stick with this release date, or B, we're gonna go with the release date and a hybrid approach or something like that. Brian had a really good idea a couple of weeks ago for it, when we were talking about the hybrid, you know, release it on what screens are available, and then do premium video on demand. Brian said actually push Black Widow closer to either Thanksgiving or Christmas, and so that way you have more people with their family, and people would be like, oh, hey, let's, you know, watch this movie, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So
I think they should just release it digitally. F the whole whatever the family Thanksgiving thing, because that's just, I feel like it's just a recipe to, or oh, I don't know, I'm so surprised that we're having more cases of COVID now. That's what I predict if that happens.
Yeah,
because there's no indication that like companies are really bad at like making the social distancing stuff work, because people are really bad about like just following orders.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a person's people thing. That's not
just a human thing.
Human thing.
They just don't like being told what to do.
All the rules in the world, and people will still. You know, like one of the things I hate, speaking of movie theaters and kind of keep things entertainment focused, because I do like going to the theater, and I love the theater experience. I hate people though.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
You walk out, and on your way out of your screen room, you will pass several trash cans, and yet people still leave shit in the theater, in the seats, on the ground. It makes no sense to me, because it's not like it takes you any extra effort, but it does save the people that work there, because I used to work at a theater when I was in high school, and saves those people and the next customers. It saves them, you know, from your mess. But yeah, people are, humans are terrible.
Yeah, they're just bad. It's just hard. This is why, you know, I don't believe in conspiracy theories by and large, is because just people are not going to listen to you. They're just not going to listen to you. Like, there's no way you can get people to keep a secret. There's no way you can get people to just follow basic orders. It's just, it's hard enough to get somebody, like, if they have a specific way of doing things, you say, hey, can you do it this way? They're like, oh, yeah, sure. 3 days later, they're back to their old ways. And for me personally as well, when I do stuff, it's like I try to make mental effort. Like, I need to do this change. I need to do this change. And then I just revert back to the way I was doing it, you know, a few weeks later. Yeah. It's just our nature to just do what we do naturally.
Yeah. Yep. Human nature. What was I gonna say? But something else Brian and I had mentioned, and something I've actually been kind of surprised we haven't heard more about, is animation, because I know you can take workstations home. That I've actually been surprised that we haven't seen either A, an increase in animation announcements, or B, even animated releases to kind of like fill the gap. Adults like animation, kids like animation. There's adult oriented and kids oriented animation. I really like the last animated film I can remember really being mentioned was the Addams Family thing last year, or earlier this year, or whatever.
I mean, I
don't know what happened to animation.
Animation just takes a while, I guess. You know, it's, COVID has been around for 11 years in our minds, but it's really only been around for like what, 6 months.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As just a lot of stuff has been completed. We had the director of Rick and Morty, he was on something. I spoke with him, and he talked about, yeah, like, it's been fine for the animation process. They're figuring things out, and he anticipates a lot of these are going to be permanent changes, because companies are finding ways to save money. They're like, oh, we didn't need this aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think a lot of these changes will be. This output isn't necessarily going to be seen for a while, because animation just takes a long time. When I worked at Disney for a bit, like, it would take, like, they would finish an episode, and then it would be like over a year until it aired or something. So like, it just takes a long time for that stuff, even when they're finished. But I mean, at least it did back then. I guess even that was a long time ago at this point compared to now, because I know Brian was finishing on some stuff that is probably going to air relatively soon. So, you know, maybe just times have changed and I'm old, or maybe Disney is a special kind of beast because of how big it is. How big it is. And just, yeah, they have different processes that are needed. But yeah, I think we will see more animation stuff. But I see your point. Your point being that because animation is such a flexible medium, and we don't necessarily have to have people meeting to finish it, it's like, why not just take those ideas and make them animated things? Like, why is there no boom? There might be. But at the same time, I guess there is a kind of, it's growing less, but there does seem to be this somewhat of a stigma against animation, at least in the States, to where it's just like, it just doesn't appeal to everybody. Not to say they think, oh, it's awful, but it just doesn't appeal to them. So if there are ideas that they think are great, they might reserve them for live action, because live action is more mainstream and it has a bigger reach. But I think over time that's changing. I think what they're doing now better than ever is allowing American animation to appeal to specific demographics, to specific age groups. Because before it used to be like kids animation and then adult comedy, and that's pretty much all you got. And now it's just like, oh, we have teen-based stuff that like is for older teens, or stuff that's specific for action fans and stuff. So it's like they're expanding little by little, But, you know, I don't know if animation is as big enough in the U.S. to justify just having there be sort of a boom as a response to COVID.
I don't know. On the business side of things, I would think, hey, this is something that we can do. So let's do some of it, you know, mm-hmm. just thinking, because you got like that analyst a couple weeks ago talking about how he didn't think we would see major theater chains opening until mid next year. Mm-hmm. But like I said, with the right equipment, you can animate and even voice record from home. You know, a studio could send a little studio set up to a voice actor. And
let's,
you know,
be real, voice actors, they tend to have their own setups anyways.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. So I've actually been surprised at the lack of animation stuff, just simply because it can be done. But I also said the same thing about writing for like comics and stuff, because that's another thing that could be done relatively quick. It's safe from the house. The only issue then becomes printing, but that's mostly automated anyways.
That's not, what do you mean by writing? Do you mean like books?
No. Comics. We're talking.
Oh, just comics. Duh. Yeah, printing. Yeah, I mean that. I think printing is pretty. It's its own process. Yeah, honestly, I think for the first 3 to 4 months, I'd say 3 months, it was hard to creatives to be in the mood to write given everything going on around the world. So I think that aspect is a bit difficult, but I guess if now that things, it seems like we've come to like a certain new status quo for the time being of just the way life is going to be, and I could see that type of stuff really uptick. But it's just a matter of, yes, we could produce more animation. Yes, we could probably produce more comics. But is are consumers hungry for those things? In Hollywood, they probably feel like there's only so much demand out there for animated content. And if we just do a bunch of animated content, we're just not going to get our money back on those things because the demand isn't there for it. Maybe the same thing with comics as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think there's a lot of preconceived notions in regards to specific mediums that keep that from happening. Though I do think it's changing. Like, there's more diversity in animation in terms of the type of content we're getting than ever mm-hmm. before. Like, I would have grown up being a much bigger fan of American animation had we had the type of American animation that we have now. Growing up, like, yeah, obviously I was a huge animation fan, but like, when I wanted like cool stories, then I would be like, I would go to anime. That's just what I do. Like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I started watching, I know it's been out as the web series a couple years ago, but the Transformers War for Cybertron, they put it on Netflix.
Yeah, they had a new, is that the one that comes from Rooster Teeth as well?
I think so. It's all three of them.
No, but there's one that's like a 6-episode series.
This is multiple series in it's the one that used to be a web series, and then they brought it all over to Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
It's confusing.
Yeah, but
actually, we spoke with the voice actress from one of them. I'm trying to think of what she said. So it's like you know what it is? It's a trilogy. It's a trilogy.
Yes,
but it's a trilogy of seasons. So it's 3 seasons.
Yes,
there we go.
Yes. That's what I'm said. It's like it was a web series first, and then they brought it all over to Netflix. Like it wasn't originally created for Netflix. Like this has been out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyways, to your point, we got into the first couple episodes, and I looked over at Christine, and I was like, this is what I want from like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, even.
So you like it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's made for Transformers, G1, Generation 1 original cartoon and toys. It's made for those fans right now, in our 30s, and at the same time still has enough of the it's still family friendly enough. You can sit down with your seven-year-old and watch it, and they can enjoy Transformers with you. But it's got a deeper story than the original cartoon had, but it has all of the feels that you remember, the nostalgia of the first thing. And I was like, it reminded me of a rumor that turned out, according to Kevin Eastman, to be false about the Ninja Turtles, I think it was CBS live action series. Eastman came out and said that wasn't happening, the lone future turtle thing. And mine and your conversation about, I was like, I don't need a live action turtles. I would love an animated one that's geared towards me, you know, the 30-40-year-old fan who appreciates the 80s cartoon but also appreciates the original black and white comics. And War for Cybertron is just like that. And it's like I said, it's still family friendly. I think I heard the word ass on it, and that, like, that was the worst as far as language, which my son hears way worse from us. especially when hockey games are on, which the Pens won last night. Hey, thank you. But it fills that void. And me and you being huge anime fans, we always have something to go to. But I do wonder if there is a market out there of people that aren't necessarily anime fans, but would love to watch more properties like Transformers, War for Cybertron.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there is. I just wish there were more properties, more shows out there that were original that, you know, aren't based on existing properties. Like, I don't need a reimagined thing from 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely true.
There are things like that as well. There's like Dragon Prince, which I could not get into. You know, Avatar, which I also could not get into. It's funny because those ones, the problem I have is that the stories I'm sure are great, but the humor is just so childish and it permeates throughout that I just can't get through it. So it's just a matter of make a show that just, it's not super childish. Like, make it good all around and don't feel like you need to sort of talk, I don't know, make childish humor, but you can still make it appealing to all ages.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last show. One show that did pretty well with that was the first season of Carmen Sandiego, the animated show. The second season, not as much, but the first season was pretty good
in terms of. You were singing the praises for it when it first hit.
Yeah. The first season was good. It was really good. The second season was not. So hopefully they get back to being good down the line.
Hey, Christine and I finally we I know there hasn't been any new episodes in a while, but we're eventually going to miss out on new episodes. DuckTales, you know, we got rid of our satellite service, trying to shave down expenditures before I medically retire in a couple months, and DuckTales is one of those things that it's perfectly great for a 35-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yeah, DuckTales is probably like the prime example of something like that, of like, yeah, how you could have great humor and stuff and still be appealing for all ages. I think, the Lake DuckTales is the best one. But actually,
and good animation quality too. I like it.
I love it too. Yeah, Disney Plus stylistic needs to get their shit together though. They need to get episodes like after they air, as opposed to, you know, at the end of the season.
Yeah, I was shocked that Disney wasn't going to do that. I really was with season 3 that they weren't going to, you know, like either next week or a couple days after the airing date start putting season 3 episodes on Disney Plus. Legitimately, like, why?
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, I don't get it either. Maybe it just has to do
You're not gonna sell Disney XD subscription on satellite or cable. You're not gonna sell a subscription to satellite and cable on DuckTales alone. So but you could use it as extra enticement for Disney Plus.
Yeah, you could. You could. I'm sure there's some big convoluted reason why, you know, or some weird contracts from wherever, or like messing things up or whatever.
Could be. Well, I can say this to the audience. Keep your eyes to LRMonline.com, because if we catch wind of anything worthwhile coming from this shareholders call, you guys will be the second to know. I would say first, but then that'd make me a liar, because we would know first, and then we would write it up, and then you would know. So you'll be second to know.
Exactly.
Bookmark, save, heart, whatever the web page, whatever your browser does these days, and check us out for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Keep the YouTube channel, LRM Online, subscribe to it. Lots of great celebrity interviews going up. We've been hard at work doing Zoom and FaceTime and Duo and Skype and all of that with celebrities, writers, actors, like across the spectrum. And of course, the LRM Online podcast network. Great shows such as this one, LR Mornings, and Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which hits on Fridays. What'd you guys cover last week, last Friday?
Breaking Geek Radio?
Yeah.
What the hell did we talk about? Give me a second.
I don't remember.
Oh, we talked about the San Diego Comic-Con at home.
Okay, there you guys go. So, and I heard they're having issues where, like, the stuff people were buying is, like, delayed, like, 6 weeks now or something like that.
Oh, didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is something on Twitter over the weekend, I think, is like a 4 to 6 week delay. Yeah. Anyways, subscribe to the channel, and I'm sure anything big comes out from the shareholders call besides the website, we'll be talking about it tomorrow morning. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all the stuff at LRMonline.com.
And you guys can find me at @ThatKyleMalone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.